She's feisty, she's funny, and she tells it like it is. Get ready for Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. What are your opportunities right now? What are the possibilities? Ask Corby and cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. Here's your host, Corby Mitlide.
And hello out there, as we say in New York, hello there. It's Corby Mitlide. You're on Empower Readings, and we're going to put the reading in reading. Tonight is one of those booky type things. Tina Saatchi is somebody that I ran into at one of the fairs that I do. I think it may have been the one in Massachusetts, but Tina's going to have to let me know. And what I loved about her is she is clarion crystal clear about who she is and what she wants her message to be down here. She's a holistic and spiritual author and a speaker and a teacher. And, you know, she's born in New York City, so she knows the stuff. Tina Saatchi, I was given. Okay. So one of the things that I noticed about her is she has a brilliant way with words. So when I found out she had a brand new book out, I said, I want it, and I want to talk to you about it. I think that you are going to have just as good a time as I am tonight. Tina, we're delighted to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Now listen, for someone who does as much as you do, because you've got the peripatetic schedule like I do, and you're a radio host, and you're a writer, and you have clients, how did you find the time to write the book, and what pushed you to finally get it out there? Because nobody really gets a brilliant book out unless it's an absolute passion.
Yeah.
So what called you?
Well, I believe, Corby, that this was one of the reasons why I incarnated into this lifetime. I believe that it was just one of these burning things. It was a burning desire that I had to bring it out there. And what really pushed me is when I needed to come out of the metaphysical closet. Because I was in the spiritual closet for all these years. I was brought up Catholic. Not that I'm bashing Catholics around here, but I was just not looking at God as a punishing God. I was not looking at it in the ways where people say, well, if you don't follow a certain deity or ascended master or what have you, that you would be going to hell. I just didn't believe in all that. And I got immobilized, literally. There was a time in my life about 20 years ago, I couldn't get out of bed. I was continuing to really follow supposedly the corporate America life that I had. Nothing wrong with corporate America. However, I started getting diabetes and shingles and arthritis, and I couldn't even get out of bed. So I had to do something, and that really was the turning point.
Now, obviously, writing this book didn't cure you of this, but what I understand is things like the diabetes and shingles, those are marks of physical dis-ease when we are not at ease with ourselves. So when you all of a sudden realized being spiritual doesn't mean you have to follow a particular religious place or style, do you have a particular formula that explains that? My spirit is not religious?
Yes, I do. I do. I have what's called the open formula. And the open formula is O-P-E-N, or sometimes I call it the one formula. So for simplicity, let's call it the one formula right now. O for the one formula is to be open to everyone expressing their connection with their higher source, however way they want. N is to nurture your spiritual connection your way. And E is to encourage others to learn and grow the way they desire, so we can promote love, peace, and growth for yourself and for others. So it's really to be open, to nurture, encourage, and enlighten however you want to be. It's really about coexisting.
There's that wonderful bumper sticker that we all have seen, coexist, and each of the letters is a different religious symbol. Everybody has a different view of God. Some people see this, the dude on the throne. Some people see duality, the God and Goddess. Some people just see this immanence point that radiates love. D- Did you figure out who God is? If you have, you probably are going to be terribly famous, but what's your version of God?
Well, you know, I love to, first of all, I believe God is all-knowing. God is this great force, this great spirit, if you will. And from a human perspective, we can't really define what God is. We just can't. I mean, it's just beyond us. And so I believe that God, we're all connected to God, whether it's a he or a she, and it doesn't matter. We are connected. And one, you know, I love to illustrate it with a Ferris wheel, if I can. You know, we all know what a Ferris wheel looks like. It has a hub, and it's connected to all these spokes. And if you think about it, God is like a hub. So we are all spokes. And because we are connected, we have a direct access to God through prayer and meditation and other ways. And I know you're a very talented, intuitive person, and you connect in your own way, and I connect to mine. Now, this Ferris wheel requires mandatory safety inspections and mechanical checks and so on and so forth. And that's the dust that settles. And then we need to kind of, you know, maintain that. And one way is to do it through meditation so we can really have a direct contact. And so these spokes, each one, since we're connected to the hub, we are in constant contact with it. Should our spoke become disconnected, we lose sight of our purpose and journey. We lose the love instead of becoming judgmental and envious and hateful. All it takes is one spoke, that is one person, to disconnect, and the rotation of the entire wheel is affected. So I have this great prop that I just used on Gaiam TV with George Norrie. His show is called Beyond Relief. And I have this Ferris wheel prop, and it happens to be the Disney Ferris wheel. And you have Tigger and Eeyore and Piglet and Pooh. And if you know, I know a lot of people know about these Disney characters. You know, you have Eeyore, who's always the pessimistic, dismal person, and he just kind of, like, the tribe takes care of him, and he's one of those spokes. And then you have Pooh, who is just a loving creature and always wonderful and but simple. Then you have Piglet, who is always fearful but always goes along with the tribe. And of course you have Tigger, and Tigger is always the bouncy, trying to get people to go his way, and bouncy, positive energy. However, this is a tribe, and they all are different. However, in the Ferris wheel of life, they each have their own place. They're coexisting, and they just have this wonderful tribe. And that's my message here with My Spirit Is Not Religious. It's a guide to living your authentic life. That's my message, is let's coexist. It's okay for you to feel God, whatever that feels for you. Some people feel God, it's a rock, it's a tree. Some people feel and say it's God, and some people say it's Buddha. Some people say it's Krishna. It doesn't matter. So the bottom line is to really allow to be one with this great force.
If we could convince people who see God so narrowly about that, it would be a miracle. We'd have less war. We'd have less battle in the government. So the whole spiritual versus religious thing, when I talk about angels versus spirit guides, I talk about something that's called a Venn diagram. If we all remember in math, you had the two circles and they sort of intersect. And I explained that all angels are spirit guides, but not all spirit guides are angels. Can you explain religion and spirituality that way? Is all religion spiritual? Is all spirituality religious? How do you figure that out?
Yeah, so basically, I find that there's a difference between religion and spirituality in the context that some people, and it's not right or wrong, but some people just need structure. They need to know, okay, there's a minister or a priest or a rabbi or whatever, and they need to go to church, and everything's pretty much structure and done for them. So that's what I define as religion. It started because of a community having similar ways of connecting. Spirituality is, and let me go back to that. So religion, that's religion to me. Where there's a difference is that If you decide to go to a Unity Church and somebody else goes to a synagogue, it doesn't mean that the person who goes to synagogue is better or worse. It just means that person decides to follow the structure. The problem lies when you have people believing that that's the way to that sacred church or that sacred building is the way to connect with God, and they shun everybody else. That's where my problem is. That's where the problem lies. So to be spiritual and to be religious could be one, or this, it could be, there's could be like that Venn diagram you said, there's a lot of commonality. However, to be spiritual to me is really about, you know, allowing people to connect in their own way. And you can connect in so many ways. So I believe in Jesus, but I don't have to just choose Jesus to connect. I can choose Krishna. I can choose Buddha. I can choose an angel. It doesn't matter. So that's where I see the difference there.
Okay. Now, one of the things that I try to explain to people, I'm going to just throw this at you, is I explained to them that I believe in the Christ consciousness, of which Jesus just happens to be the most famous suitcase thereof.
Right.
Now, when someone says, no, Jesus has to be your personal savior, and there is no, how do you get through to somebody who insists that this small bite of understanding that they've been brought up with, that they've been warned not to disbelieve, how can you gently open them to seeing differently?
Yeah, and you know, that's a great question because, you know, Corby, I always say that I rather relocate the nearest mountain teaspoon by teaspoon and put it back into its original shape than for me to convince somebody. You know, if that person is really hard, strong on that, you can't convince. So luckily, or I don't know, fortunately, we have enough on our hands to help. So there's so many people out there that need our help. And to waste my time to try to convince somebody is really a waste of time. I want to tell you that since my book has come out and has made some several bestseller lists, I've gotten letters, emails, and letters from people that are trying to convince me that, hey, you know, you're going to go to hell now because you have this book out. And you know what I do with these letters? I put them in this box I call the love box. I just got a letter just recently from somebody, hand wrote it, 4 pages, hand wrote it. He lives on the East Coast somewhere, and he's given me all these websites that I should look at, convincing me to really be a good Catholic. And I'm like, how can I convince him? He's trying to convince me. So I pray for him. He's praying for me. He said he's praying for me. That's nice. I will pray for him. I have this little box that I am going to pray for all those people that are trying to convince me. There's no way they can convince me. I am who I am and where I am. So been there, done it, you know.
Haven't we all? All right, so there's that question. Some people say religion unites and others say it divides. Where are you on this?
Well, again, I believe that if you decide to use a certain sacred building or a sacred institution or religion as part of your growth, your spiritual growth, that's great. If you decide that you want to choose that growth and then also judge other people, then they're missing the whole thing. So does it reunite or divide? It depends on the specific religion. There's this great, I forget who the comedian is, but he says about this, there's this family in the car and they're going on their way. It's Sunday and the father's driving the car and he's cursing everybody on the road and he's getting all flustered because the traffic is slow and people are walking this, you know, in front of his car and they're so slow. And he finally rolls down the window and he said, shouts out some curse words and says, can you get out of my way? I'm getting to church here. So that is just an example of, really? So you're getting to church. So when are we going to be really Christ-like, you know, using that energy of the Christ consciousness, whether it's Jesus Christ or not? When are we going to really have the no judgment and allow and just coexist and really be responsible of your actions, not only in the sacred building, but also outside that? So some religions do unite and some of them don't. And so it depends. It depends.
It depends on the individual within it. There are some who are the My Way or the Highway, and then there are those who join Interfaith Alliance. You know, I want to look at the book itself for a minute. One of the reasons, folks out there, that I love this is when you're just reading a book, you read and read and read and read, and it tells you do this, do this, do this, but it doesn't show you how. The brilliant thing about what Tina has is she's got exercises. She's got little affirmations that she stops in the middle of the chapter and asks you to think about. It is a wonderful way to read the book and then internalize it in your own way. And those, for me, are the most valuable books. So what's the best way for someone to start reading this book, Tina?
Yeah, there's one of three ways people that are reading this book. One group is reading it all the way through, and then they come back, and then they read it through again. However, then they do the activities and the exercises that are in there, even including the meditations. So that's one group. The second group is they're just reading it through, and that's it. Then they get what they get, and that's fine. And the third group are literally a group of people. They're getting their friends and their loved ones to have like a My Spirit is Not Religious Night, and they're using, there's 22 chapters, and they're using the chapters, maybe one each meeting or two each meeting, depending on how much detail is in each chapter. So it depends on the person and your style.
Did you work with a focus group or an experimental group when you were writing this to see how this worked in a group setting, or you're just getting this kind of feedback from people that have used it in a group?
I did not have a focus group. I did it backwards, because usually what you do when you write a book is you create a book proposal, and then you go out there and see if a publisher will take it. I did it the way my spirit guides told me to, and it was just get it out, write it out, get it edited, ready to go, ready to roll, and then you're going to be published. And so that's the way I did it. And then I just had this trust and this knowing that the energy of this book had to be out there. So after it came out, people are reading it, like, and I'm getting all these emails. And I have a group of people that I call the TSCs, which is Tina's Spiritual Circle. And so they're my peeps, and we're going into our 16th series. And they have read it, they have given me, you know, their feedback. And as a matter of fact, I'm creating, as a result of this book, a global community, and through a membership site and teleclasses. So I'm really, really in tune and connecting with them as well.
All right. Now, how do you get people to believe in a spiritual lifestyle? They pick up this book, they read it, they say, wow, this is amazing, but I'm not sure if I can get my head around it. What do you do to help them open up their own doors?
Well, if they come to me and they start asking me questions regarding it, of course I'm going to help them peel away the layers of obstacles. Because sometimes these people that are on the fence, they're on the fence because they're trying to connect with their emotional issues or their, you know, imprints or patterns from their families or their culture. So they may not have enough courage or confidence to really stand in their spirituality. So if that's the case, I will help them and to peel away those layers. However, again, if they don't want the help and they just choose to be where they are, there's nothing we can do, Corby, as you know. There's nothing we can do to convince them, and that's okay. It's all good.
It's not a matter of convincing. It's a matter of they're scared.
Yeah.
Because when we go against our spiritual and religious upbringing, you know, if someone converts from Jewish to anything else, very often if the family will say Shiva, they will declare this person dead.
I know.
So it truly being authentic is stepping into your power, but stepping off the cliff.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying, what can you tell someone to do? What should they expect to feel? How do they remain authentic and still love the people that are throwing bricks at them?
Right. And you know what? I have, through my experience, When I came out of the spiritual closet, I knew that my family members would, like you said, you know, the Jewish people will sit shiver. Well, I had the Italians declaring me, you know, a witch. they're declaring me, you know, that I'm going to go to hell. And so I had to put up with all that. And I realized, so I'm going to tell everybody what they can expect is that their friends are going to change and they're going to be judged. And you know what? You just have to build up that courage and you got to build up the foundation. Because when I stepped out of that metaphysical closet, I knew that I was going to have stones being thrown at me. And for years and years and years, you know, family members did not talk with me, or they put up with me, or they tolerated me because I was part of a certain, you know, I was in their family. So the book will help them get through that. There are four parts in that book. So the exercise and the activities, you know, part one is a different way to feel God. And part two is about to come out or stay inside that spiritual closet. Part three is the tools for moving forward. So it, you know, and then part four is about spiritual maintenance. So the book is really, as you know, stories of my stories and client stories. And I know they can relate and gain courage and gain the confidence to really live their dream. It's really about living your dream and not somebody else's dream. It's about living your dream. And so I encourage everybody, all the listeners, to listen to their spirit and live their dream now.
How does God communicate with us when we're trying to shift our perspective on what's out there?
Yeah, well, first, you know, they say first it comes through whispers and then it's a big bang on the head with the 2x4. And so I kept getting messages myself that I had to make changes. And finally, I couldn't get out of bed. Like I said, I had all these diseases coming in my way, like from arthritis and shingles and diabetes and my stomach problems. I literally could not get out of bed. I would call up my secretary and say, I'm going to be in late now. And that was kept happening. And I knew at that point, like, I can't even think anymore. So I got that big 2x4 hit on my head. And I knew at that point in time that if I didn't make a change on my journey, on my path, that I was going to die. I was literally dying. That's what was happening. And so I did. I made the change. I changed not only my profession, leaving a six-figure salary working in corporate America to, you know, clipping coupons and moving from, you know, Vermont to Arizona with a 7-month-old and my husband leaving his business making $12 an hour. We knew we had to make a change. I had to be healthier. I had to be better. And so at that point in time, I went raw. I went raw. Now, I'm not talking about food wise. I had to strip myself. I had to dismember myself and remember who I was. And so that's what I needed to do. So I'm not saying that people need to dismember themselves, because I've been there and I can help them. I can guide them like you can to really connect with their spiritual essence. So the bottom line is really to listen to your spirit and dream the dream that you're meant to live.
Okay, we're going to be going to break in just a couple of minutes. But Tina, where can people find you? If they're excited about this after the show, which frankly they should be.
Thank you. They can find me on tinasacchi.com, which is TinaSacchi.com, or they can go to mybesthealthtips.com. And of course, they can, if they go there, they can opt in my mailing list and they can get a free meditation and learn about other events that I have coming up. And also the global community that I'm building, myspiritis.com.
Now, we will be doing some readings tonight. I'll be doing my stuff. Tina, what kind of readings are you up for this evening?
I would like to do readings basically on, you know, where they feel they're stuck. And I want to tune into that obstacle in their luminous energy field and see what's keeping them from moving forward, so they can live authentically and real.
I love that. That is absolutely not the kind of readings that I normally do. So, good Lord, guys, take advantage of this. When we come back from break, the number is 248 809 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. We are with Tina Psaki discussing her book, My Spirit is Not Religious, A Guide to Living Your Authentic Life. So we'll be back with Tina and her book and readings and questions and all of the usual yummy stuff after the break.
Lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called inventnow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the inventnow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh, Johnny, skipping rocks at the pond sure is fun.
Hey, look, a moving stick.
That ain't a stick. That's a rattlesnake.
Sassy, we're in danger.
Good idea, Sassy. Go get Mr. Gunderson. You will in a second, but first you'd like to tell us something we may not know about animal shelters in the United States?
It's getting close, Sassy.
Approximately 8 million pets enter shelters each year? The majority of which are in shelters because of owner-related issues that the animals have no control over?
Sassy the rattlesnake! Save us, Sassy!
What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. Your calls are next at 248-809-3475. 248-809-3475. Empower Readings on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to Empower Readings. I'm your host, Corby Mitlide, and we are speaking with Tina Psaki, who has written a fabulous new book, My Spirit is Not Religious, A Guide to Living Your Authentic Life. Now, we are going to do readings, as requested, during the second half of the show. If you have questions for me, or better yet, for our guest, then call us at 248-809-3475. And it looks like we've already got a caller. We have Lena from Tennessee. Lena, welcome to the show. Hello, Lena.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi. Good, my girl. What can we do for you?
Well, for one thing, I'm excited to get two readings. Tina, I would like to know, what do you see on my life path? I recently did a little Reiki that I'm sure you're better at it than I am. And Corby, I'm having a little bit of financial issues. So if you can both help me out, that'd be great.
Okay. When you say you're having financial issues, you're just in general, what can I do to make it better, or you want to just see what's ahead?
What do you believe is best?
My girl. All right, now you're going to get Corby 101. It's not what the psychic thinks best. Remember, we are here to empower you, not lead your life for you. What we do is we tell you what we see, but you, my darling girl, are going to have to make the decision what to do. That's part of living your journey. So what I am going to tell you is I'm pulling three cards that you need to look at. All right, the first one is the Page of Coins, and I always see that as a little bit of a vision quest card. If you are not happy with your money situation, if you're feeling like there's too much month at the end of the money, as they say, then I want you to start looking at what you do best, what you love. This is not quit your job as an administrative assistant and go sit on street corners and read or do Reiki or play your violin. But it's time for you to really look at what you do well and do what I call grafting on. Grafting on is maybe you have to keep your 40-hour-a-week job that isn't fabulous, or get the 40-hour-a-week job if you're not employed at the moment. But the other thing you need to do is you start taking what you're good at and finding your audience. If you bake, can you do wedding cakes? If you can at least drive and you have a license, can you take senior citizens for their grocery shopping or for their doctor's appointments for a certain amount of money? If you sew, is there a particular kind of sewing that you could do? There was one client I had that started making celebration coats for people. Mrs. McGillicuddy is having her 100th birthday. She would make a special like kimono coat that the family would give, and it would have embroidered on it lots of little things about her life. So I want you to think outside the box. I know that you have something that you're not making money at now that you could. The middle card is the Star, and that's the Karma card. Traditionally, it shows a woman kneeling at a stream. She's pouring in water, and behind her, there are stars. And if you look at those stars, generally they meet at the back of her neck. Think about a window washer. When they have their security harness on, that's where it holds on. So the Star card for me says, God says, reach out, do that risky thing, I've got your back. And the last card for you is the Empress. And the Empress is about wondrous creativity, a happy home life, plenty and abundance. So to me, there is not a sense of lack here at all. All God is doing right now is nudging you and saying, now you know you're better at lots of other things, so start putting it out there. All you have to do is show the world what you are worth in ways that are not just a 9-to-5 job. And the finances get better from there, at least two income streams. Is this making sense to you?
Yes, it does. I actually wanted to open up my own radio show. I'm good at advising people for some reason, but I didn't want to take the risk because, again, it takes money to do the radio show, etc.
Not necessarily, not these days. There are ways that you can do radio that you may not be making million bajillion dollars, but it's not going to cost you anything either. The first thing that I would recommend is get your reputation. Okay? This is not the old days of Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney, let's put on a play in a barn and all of a sudden Broadway comes calling. You have to put it out there, okay? And if you do, if you get known for your rep, then the radio show happens. Okay?
Okay.
Tina, what do you have to say for this one?
You know, I see you may want to entertain having a channel on YouTube. And that is a very inexpensive way to starting and kind of seeing yourself as you're out there and seeing how what people are looking and almost like you're testing the grounds. And so depending on the topic, you can do that. Do you have a channel on YouTube?
No, not yet.
Okay. It's really... Yeah, I mean, you can do that, and you can start off that way, and because people, YouTube, by the way, is the first search engine, the number one search engine on the planet is Google. The second one is YouTube, and guess what? Google owns them both. So, so if you get on YouTube and use that, as a way, to express, I feel like your financial issues are connected with not expressing yourself. And so if you express yourself in a, and it doesn't require money and use the YouTube channel, and that'll just bring you to the next step. Does that make sense for you?
Yes, it does.
Okay, well, good luck.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You see, this is a perfect example of being able to use two intuitives coming at the same answer from different perspectives. And that really dovetails into what we're talking about, the idea of coming to spirituality from two different religious backgrounds. Are there commonalities that you find in religions that help you? I know with me, I will look at a religion and honor it and listen to it as long as it's love, service, compassion, and humility. That, to me, is the difference between religion, spirituality, and a cult. How do you see that, Tina?
I see it the same way, and I agree with you totally. I mean, you have one way of expressing, and I have another, or similar ways. And if a religion doesn't, find that love is important, I would have a hard time being part of it. And the other part would be non-judgmental. That is really huge, because when we judge people, we can't love them. I think somebody said that. There's a quote from somebody, when you judge somebody, you can't love them at the same time. So that is very important to me, absolutely.
That brings up not only religion, but the masters, okay? There are some really transcendental people, Paramahansa Yogananda, Gandhi, all these masters, all these spiritual leaders, is there one that was real as opposed to someone who wasn't? Or are they all simply reading different chapters from the same book?
I call it a different flavor of spaghetti sauce, okay?
New York City, I get this. It's all right. So
yes,
go ahead.
I call it different flavor. I mean, also, I'm Italian, right? So, you know, some people say, when you say, let's have a spaghetti dinner, well, most people in America think of the red tomato sauce. I mean, if you go to Italy, well, what kind of sauce? It could be alla vodka sauce. It could be puttanesca. It could be bolognese. It could be whatever. And that would be a spaghetti dinner. It doesn't matter that one person decides to have bolognese, which has all the chopped meat and, you know, beef or whatever in it. Another person will just have, hey, just straight marinara sauce. So it's just another way. It's just everybody has their own flavor, their own representation, their own way of connecting to this higher power. So whatever you choose, whatever master you choose, ascended master you choose, and you're getting so much love and humility and compassion and non-judgment for our fellow people, that's all it takes. That's all it takes.
All right, I'm going to address what in a lot of places is called sophomore slump. So you start working with your book, and you're excited, and you see things, and it makes sense. And then all the people around you, are you crazy? That woman just wrote that because, you know, like she wants to make money. What are you doing? When all of a sudden the world throws, you know, dog poo in your road, right, and it stops you. How do you get beyond that? How do you avoid the poo? How do you maintain the structure of moving forward as you look at spirituality in a totally different way?
Yeah, that's a great question because, you know, I've had a lot of highs since the book has come out, a lot of highs. And then you get this note or this email or this Facebook post and you know, naysayers. What keeps me grounded and connected is meditation. I cannot say enough about it. I do a lot of chanting, a lot of chanting of mantras. I start my day that way, and I end my day that way. So when I am in that silent space or that space of connecting and chanting and being one with the universe, I just get a clear vision of that day, an image of what that day is supposed to be all about. So nothing really can fluff my feathers or rustle my feathers. I am just, you know, when somebody comes my way and disrespects me, I just love them. I just love them because that's what Jesus would do. Jesus, now all those people that believe in Jesus, and if you don't believe in Jesus, then you're going to go to hell. Well, do you really think Jesus would send these people to hell? What would he do, Corby? He would love them, right? So that's my role model is to be like, you know, follow my wonderful ascended masters and guides and angels and really do what they would do. And then they would love them with compassion, with forgiveness, and with humility.
So someone is starting this spiritual path in a non-spiritual family. And we're not just talking that Aunt Selma's looking at you and going, what are you, nuts? It's you have a family. You have a three-year-old. You have a four-year-old. You have a husband. None of them are doing this spiritual thing. And you do not have the half an hour in the morning to get up because the minute that the child hears you're up, it's mommy, mommy, mommy. How do you fit this in when everybody else is putting demands on you? How do you make spirituality into the warp and weft?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been down that path and I'm still on this path of having, you know, two teenage sons. And when I came out of the closet, my kids were really, really young. And I had those demands. I had, you know, two colic boys that would cry. You know, some people say they cried between 7 and 9 p.m. Mine cried 23 hours a day. And I had all that, but the only thing that got me through it is to meditate. And you just find a few minutes, whether you're, you know, you just find it. You just got to find it. And you ask your husband or your wife to, you know, take care of them for 5 minutes so you can go out and be by a tree, hug a tree, be by a plant, be out there, touch something live, touch, lay on grass, touch a rock. Just be connected with something that is so pure and so loving, like a rock, a tree, a plant, and with the sun, with the moon. Just be out there even for a few minutes and start taking wonderful breaths. Because as you take breaths, then that you're really connecting to yourself and you're really going to connect with this greater force. If you keep going and being ragged, you're just going to get off that Ferris wheel. You're going to take a detour. However, you just got to find even 2 minutes, just a few minutes. You got to do that. And really, I've been there, I've done it, and I know. So thank you for asking that question.
Okay, so you're doing your book. You're finding 2.5 seconds to meditate in the ladies' room, if that's where you need to be.
Absolutely.
What will be one of the gentle signals to you that the engine has turned over and they're starting to move forward?
The signal would be is that you have this wonderful energy of joy all of a sudden in your path. You just find a sense of, oh wow, this is why I'm here. You find this energy of love in your being. I know that when I'm feeling pissed off or I have negative energy in my fields, like, you know, anger, shame, blame, guilt, resentment, disappointments, fears, whatever it is, I'm off course. So I need to find myself again, and I have a list of medicine tools that I use that, like, sometimes when we're so deep in crap, right? So much is going on. You need to just stop and say, okay, what can I do? Well, let's see. Maybe I'll take a salt bath, or maybe I will use aromatherapy, or maybe I'll run some Reiki energy healing, or maybe I will put some music that's very soothing, or maybe I will go hug my pets, my cat, my dog, my guinea pigs. You go and you just I have this list, by the way, people can get it off my website, a medicine tool bag of lists of items that you can just check off until you really, you fake it till you make it till you really get into that space within. It's a space within. That's the goal here, is to get inside.
We have to do this jettisoning so much old message, old training, old cobwebs. Let's say that this is a parent that has kids, and now they have an opportunity to help the child avoid this whole religious mishigas, that's Yiddish for mess out there, entirely. What's the best way for a parent to start introducing spirituality the way you're talking, rather than religion?
Right. And, you know, it's funny because I had this conversation today with my 17-year-old, and we were driving. We had an appointment, and we had all these signs, like, you know, vacation Bible school at this Presbyterian church, and vacation Bible school at this other sacred building, whatever. And I said to him, you know, Joseph, I said, when you were younger, I used to take you to all these vacation Bible schools because I wanted you to have a flavor of what was out there. I go, do you remember me taking you to these places? And he says, yes, Mom, I did. And I go, well, what did you get out of it? He goes, I built a lot of crosses. And I go, yeah, and what more did you do besides building crosses? Because they build crosses out of wood or paper or drawing. And he says, you know what I got out of it is that everybody really wants to be loved, and I don't have to go there to love them. And I go, that's pretty cool. So what I did as a parent, to answer your question, is I gave them exposure to different places. We would go to different sacred buildings. And, you know, I have never, ever, Corby, been so spiritual in my life as I am now. I went through, you know, all Catholic schools, including all-girl high school, Bishop Kearney High School. I went to St. John's University. I mean, I had a lot of years of Christian and Catholic upbringing. And I always felt lost. I always felt I didn't belong. I always felt there was more. I always felt that, you know, God is loving and not punishing. And I always felt that if I missed church one Sunday, that I would not go to hell. I would, you know, I felt that there was something much more loving out there. And when I decided to come out of that metaphysical closet and then include my family in it, as best as I can, I started really being free and open. So, another thing I want to say to you is that my husband was always on the fence with all this. So, you know, it's going to be tough for a lot of people to really get their whole tribe together and do this, including their spouses. But I do know that they do. Everybody will stop pressing that snooze button and will awake in their own time. And that's what happened to my husband. He awoke in his own time. And I'm so blessed that he finally woke up. So,
what is one thing a day that someone can do to introduce spirituality like this to the world, to pay it forward? Just a small gesture. Doesn't have to be grand.
I believe a smile will help us make, will bridge. I posted yesterday on Facebook. I challenged everybody. I said, challenge or not, choose 10 people today and put on a huge smile. And I got so many responses as a result of them doing that. Just a smile will bridge the gap. Just a smile. And when you smile and you bridge that gap and you're making somebody feel really, really warm, that is an act of spirituality. That is an act of love. That is an act of compassion and an act of really reaching out to that person and saying, I see you. I see you.
When you see what's happening in the world, for instance, the Defense of Marriage Act was just passed, and so many mostly Christian leaders are saying, this is terrible, it's all going to go to hell. Or then you see the way Congress is, you know, at loggerheads. The Senate does one thing, the House does another. It can feel like spirituality doesn't work. when people say, why am I doing this? I don't see that it's going to make a difference. What do you tell them?
I tell them that just a small act will shake the world. You know, I always say if you live by example, then by living an example, people are going to see you and feel you that, hey, you know, Corby's got it together. Tina's got it together. So they must be doing something right. I want something. I want more. I want what they have. And by that, I believe that we will able to make magnificent strides. And so even though all of you who are listening think that, you know, what can I do? Just put a smile on your face, because you never know who you're smiling at. If they had a bad day or bad time, you just don't know how you're going to affect it. And I do believe energetically it has a ripple effect. It really does. And I have to say, Corby, you know, I don't really care about what the government's saying, because, you know, we are stepping up. We are awakening here, and we're not going to be putting up with, any crap. I know in due time that's what's going to happen. It's just, you know, we're going to laugh. We're just going to laugh in their faces and say in a loving way, obviously, and say, hey, you want to do that? Fine. But we're taking this road. It's really, we have to really vote with our acts of kindness. We have to vote with by example, by living a loving and spiritual way.
And that's for people. How does your spirituality help heal the planet? That's not a, so how does it help? That's seriously, how can people connect their spirituality with making a difference for this one Earth that we've got? That's kind of our last question here.
Yeah, well, I believe that everything is living on this planet. And I know everybody, a lot of people saw the movie Avatar, and I really believe that that's what it's all about. It's really about everything. And communicating with that, and my TSC, as I mentioned that earlier, we're constantly doing ceremonies and praying and chanting and all that for the planet. So that if people can come together and really pray and really be mindful of not leaving the water running and you know, planting great plants and not using pesticides and really taking those little steps and voting with your dollars and buying organic and buying free range meats, if that's what you're going to do is eat meat, that we can have more humane ways of eating. And that is just going to have a ripple effect. So we just got to do those little steps will take us and give us big, big, magnificent, huge results.
Okay. Tina, where are people going to find your book?
They can find my book on tinasacchi.com. That's TINASACCHI. Or just go to mybesthealthtips.com and they can get all the information there. They also can, if they opt into my mailing list, they can get a free meditation. And I definitely believe meditation is the key to connect. They can also find out this tarot class I just did the other night. I had so many people part of it. It's 4 steps to living your authentic life. Whose dream are you living? They can listen to the recording right from my website, tinasacchi.com/real, R-E-A-L, and they will learn those 4 steps in living their authentic life. And they can get information regarding my global community, myspiritis.com. Oh, also, if they want to start working on decluttering people, places, things, and drama, which I believe so much is that's how we can get into our spiritual self, our true essence, decluttering people, places, things, and drama, they can download a PDF right from my website. If they go to that tinasacchi.com/real, and they can work on themselves by downloading it, printing it out, and start decluttering. Get rid of those things that no longer serve you so you can create space for your dreams.
Can they work with you directly, Tina?
Absolutely. And they can also book appointments online by just going to the appointments tab, and they can just set up an appointment for me. All the information, details, fees, and all that is right there.
Tina, this has been pretty much a nonstop hour, and I'm so glad that you were ready for all of the left wing nut questions that I kept throwing at you. You did beautifully, and I thoroughly enjoyed this. You are welcome back anytime.
Oh, I would love to be back. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Love it.
All right, folks. Now, next week is the 4th of July. We'll be here. You may or may not, but we will be here on Empower Radio as always. If you're looking for me, you can find me several places. FireThroughSpirit.com. You can go to the fan page, the business page on Facebook, and that is also Fire Through Spirit. You can follow me on Twitter at Corby Mitlide, or you can always reach me by phone, 877-321-CORBY. If there's anything that I want you to take from this week, remember the word authenticity. Don't believe because somebody else tells you to believe. Believe because you feel it in your heart and your guts. Feel it. Understand that spirituality on earth is in the mirror. It is who you are. It is how you view your fellow man and woman. It is how you work with the earth we have. You are already a gorgeous spiritual being. Go out there, love it, and live it. Until next week, this is Corby Mitlide for Empower Readings. Have a great 7 days.